This takes a little bit of getting set up for me because sign language is my second language and I wave my hands around. I just can't help it. So I can't hold on to things, otherwise I'd end up on the floor. Oh, wow. That love letter from God really spoke to my heart. All those promises from God about how much He loves us, how much He's planned for us, how much He cares for us. And this weekend we're going to focus on two areas of specific promises. The first area we're going to focus on this morning is the promises of His presence. He's a good man. He gets everything set up, just what we need. Is that better? Can you see better? Am I in the way? Do I need to take my head off? Oh, okay. Next slide. Loneliness. Worse than cancer, worse than disability. Because if we have friends and family surrounding us, then cancer is easier to bear. If we have others who share and understand our disability, then we don't feel so helpless. But if there's no one to share our physical pain, our emotional struggles, our spiritual battles, then we are truly alone, without hope, and potentially without life. People have died or taken their lives because of loneliness. What is loneliness? It's a feeling of separation, of disconnection, and it causes depression and anxiety. It affects our physical and spiritual health. People turn to drink, to drugs, to pornography, to food, to unacceptable relationships in order to overcome loneliness. Loneliness is different from being alone or wanting to be alone. Loneliness is a matter of attitude. You can actually choose to stay lonely. What causes loneliness? It might be the death of someone that you love or something that you love. It could be divorce or separation. It might be problems with relationships, building walls around yourself to keep other people out and to keep yourself in. It could be disability, being different from the majority of other people, being unable to communicate effectively. Loneliness can come from feelings of guilt that you are judged and condemned by God, losing your joy and your contentment. It could be that you have the poor me syndrome. You have a distorted view of yourself and of others. I don't feel loved. Nobody loves me. Nobody will accept me because it could be fear of rejection. You don't want to share the good things happening in your life in case other people reject you. Childhood experiences of neglect, ridicule, bullying, unrealistic expectations lead you to say, I don't know what love is. Therefore, I don't know how to love other people. All of these things are legitimate causes of loneliness and hurt. But if loneliness is an attitude, then we need to change the way that we think to get rid of loneliness. Through the grace of God, you can overcome loneliness. Shutting people out only stops you from receiving what you need and want. The first step is to get connected to God, because loneliness started way back when Adam and Eve decided to disobey God. We've got a little bit behind here. My fault. Okay, when Adam and Eve decided to disobey God, God came looking for them. And they were ashamed, and they hid. A beautiful relationship was destroyed because of sin. And it doesn't have to be that way. Here's a few things that God says about you. In Isaiah 41 verse 9, he says, I have chosen you and have not rejected you. Isaiah 43 verse 4 says, you are precious. I give you honor. I love you. Zephaniah 3:17 says, I rejoice over you with singing. I am delighted with you. You can rest and feel safe in my love. Genesis 1:26-28 says, you are created in my image. I've blessed you. I've given you a job to do. Jesus came to reconcile us to God, to bring us back into a right and a happy relationship with him. He died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven and we could start a new relationship with God. The first step to overcoming loneliness is to say, God, I need you. I want to get to know you and love you. I want to spend time with you. I want you to be my closest friend. I want you to teach me how to love other people. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. God gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. God was in Christ making peace between the world and himself. God did not hold the world guilty of its sins, and he gave us the message of peace. Some Bibles use the word reconciliation, and that really means bringing peace to relationships. When you are reconciled to God, he promises his holy presence with you all the time. Let's listen again to the words of Psalm 139. We had some of them in God's love letter, but I want you to really, really listen to what the psalm says. Lord, you have examined me, and you know all about me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You know my thoughts before I think them. You know where I go and where I lie down. You know thoroughly everything I do. Lord, even before I say a word, you already know it. You are all around me, in front and in back, and have put your hand on me. Your knowledge is amazing to me. It is more than I can understand. Where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I run from you? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I lie down in the grave, you are there. If I rise with the sun in the east and settle in the west beyond the sea, even there you would guide me and your right hand would hold me. If I could say to the darkness will hide me, let the light around me turn into night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as light as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful. I know this very well. You saw my bones being formed as I took shape in my mother's body. When I was put together there, you saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old. God, your thoughts are precious to me. They are so many. If I could count them, they would be more than all the grains of the sand. When I wake up, I am still with you. Wow. We have a God that is with us all the time. And more than that, He, God, is thinking about us. You know, my dog's like that. Every morning without fail, she wakes me up. It's so good to have a furry, cuddly alarm clock that is really pleased to see me, even though I'm not my best in the morning. Wherever I go, my dog is there. Whatever room of the house I go into, she comes and lies down beside me or sits on my feet. When I'm at work, she's under my desk. When I'm at bed, she's on the floor near me. When I garden, she leaps around chasing butterflies and birds. She brings me a lot of joy and makes me feel safe. She's so loyal. I only have to look at my dog to be reminded of a loving God. Isn't God good to give me such a tangible reminder of Him? Now, you don't have to have a dog to be reminded of God, but it helps. Because when Jesus returned to heaven, He promised to give another comforter, another helper, another counselor to advise us, the Holy Spirit. When you are reconciled to God and born again into His family, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your life. He will never leave you. You have 24/7 access to wisdom, guidance, power, strength to live the kind of life God wants you to. And what is this kind of life? If we go back to the passage in 2 Corinthians 5, we learn that God wants us to have the ministry of reconciliation, bringing peace to relationships, of living out the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you have any kind of relationship, and we all do, work relationships, caregivers, family, church, friends, you will have plenty of times to practice showing the fruit of the Spirit. Every breath you take, every word you say, every action you do is an opportunity to come closer to God and closer to other people. Yep, it's a cycle, because as we spend time in God's presence, then we are equipped to spend a profitable time with other people. How can we be sure of God's presence? Well, here's some promises for a start, and they're only some. There's heaps in the Bible. Look for them yourselves. Matthew 28:30, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. Romans 8:35-38, nothing now or in the future will ever be able to separate us from God's love. Isaiah 43:1-3. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I love those verses because they talk of going through with God, right there beside us, going through, not avoiding these things, not staying the same, going through and coming out again. To sum up, there's another passage I'd like to read to you from Psalm 16. The Lord is all I need. He takes care of me. My share in life has been pleasant. My part has been beautiful. I praise the Lord because he advises me. Even at night, I feel his leading. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is close by my side, I will not be hurt. So I rejoice and am glad. Even my body has hope, because you will not leave me in the grave. You will not let your Holy One rot. You will teach me how to live a holy life. Being with you will fill me with joy. At your right hand, I will find pleasure forever. If you've ever doubted God's presence in your life, if you've ever been depressed and lonely, then get into the Psalms. You will read about ordinary people who struggled with their faith and their feelings, and then they remembered the times in the past when God had been with them, when God had given them victory, protection, courage, joy, and many other reasons to burst into praise and gratitude. Hebrews 4:14-15 reminds us that Jesus understands our weaknesses and difficulties. Why? Because he himself has been through them. Think about it. He was rejected in his own hometown of Nazareth. He was criticized and misunderstood by religious leaders. Then as he tried to tell his disciples, his closest friends, about the end of his life on earth, they just didn't get it. They were too concerned arguing over who was going to be the greatest. Did they even listen to him? Then right at the very end, the three disciples who bragged that they could suffer with him, they would always be there for him, couldn't. Jesus specifically took them with him to support him in his struggle. He asked them to pray and keep watch. And what did they do? They went to sleep. There was no one to share his agony and his pain. No one to encourage him. No one to pray with him. No one. He went through his trial with no one sticking up for him. No one telling the truth. No one giving witness about the miracles they had seen. No one to tell how he'd healed them. No one even to be a friend. He took all that rejection, betrayal and pain of loneliness to the cross. And he died for you. Because he loves you. You think God doesn't understand your loneliness? You think he doesn't care when people let you down? He does. He does. When Jesus died, when God couldn't even look on the sin, our sin, that he was carrying, the curtain in the temple was torn in two, giving us full access to God and his presence. Jesus is called our great high priest in Hebrews. In the Old Testament, only the high priest could go in to the most holy place of the temple and meet with God. Because of his death, his willingness to take all our sins, all our failings, Jesus made a way for us to come directly to God, the presence of God. We can go right in to the most holy place. We can stand before God's throne of grace. There we can receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it. And that's the key. Because when we come to God with our hurts and disappointments, when we spend time in his presence, he reminds us of what he has done for us, and he gives us his amazing grace, so that we can show mercy to other people. We can forgive their shortcomings. We can be gracious to them, even though they've hurt us. When we are filled with joy and peace in being in his presence, that joy and peace flows through us to other people. This weekend, you are at the Christian Fellowship for Disabled Camp. Fellowship means connected. This weekend is a perfect time for you to spend time in God's presence, getting connected to him, and then spending time with him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your plan of salvation. You want everyone to have a personal relationship with you. You have promised never to leave us or forsake us. You have promised your Holy Spirit to live in us. You have promised to be with us always, every day, until the end of the age. You have said in your word, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Father, I pray for those who are struggling with relationships with you and their relationships with others. I pray that you will speak the peace of your promises into their lives. And I pray that each one of us will be aware of your presence with us each moment, that we will be filled with joy just knowing that you are here, and that we would take opportunities to be with other people this weekend, growing in our relationship with you and our relationship with each other. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.